We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is Luka Doncic.
Can he get it away in time on the step back? He does! He hits! He hits! And the Mavericks have won the game! Luka Doncic with a 30-footer to win it at the horn!
And you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of Mavs Step Back Podcast. This is the latest installment of Mavs Step Back Live on Spotify Live. And the Mavs, they have taken a 2-1 series lead over the Utah Jazz. Luka Doncic has yet to play a single minute in the series. People were giving me a hard time before this series started when I suggested that this team could still beat the Jazz, this current version of the Jazz, without Luka. You're seeing how it's all coming together now. I mean, guys are hitting wide open shots. That was always, you know, the issue when the Mavs lost. Most time, especially in the second part of the season, like if they ever lost a game, it was just because they weren't hitting wide open shots. They've generated wide open shots all season long. And when they're hitting them and they're confident and they're staying engaged on the defensive end, you know, this team is hard to beat whether Luka plays or not. Now, obviously, you want Luka to be healthy and come back. This isn't, I mean, I've seen some people suggest like, oh, well, the Mavs just don't need Luka to come back. That's ridiculous. you bring him back as soon as you can, and you go for the kill punch, the kill shot with Luka, and you put the Jazz out of their misery. So it's been incredible so far. Jalen Brunson is playing out of his mind. Coming into the series, I figured he'd get somewhere around the $16 to $20 million a year mark. He might end up getting around $25 million a year or so after his postseason performance if this keeps up. He has shown that he can carry a load and he can be, you know, the star with Luka out. So it's been incredible. Dinwiddie, he has shot the ball horribly in the series, under 40% from the field, and he's not been he's been like under 20% from three, I believe, as well. But he was clutch, hit a bunch of clutch shots, 20 points last night in game three. 9 of those points came in the last 5 minutes and 30 seconds, I believe. So he was huge. You know, if he gets his shooting touch back, even if Luka doesn't come back for game four, I just don't know what the Jazz do here. The Mavs basically ran Rudy Gobert off the floor for part of that game because I don't think that's anything to do with Gobert as a player. I think it's more of how Utah uses him. I think it has something to say about their team chemistry. You know, there's a lot of factors in play there, but I do think, you know, if you potentially put Gobert on this Mavs team, it would be a much different dynamic than what it is with the Jazz. But anyway, they ran him off the floor last night, and Quinn Snyder decided to go with Eric I don't know how to say his last name. But anyway, went with him, and they made a little bit of a run, but then the Mavs figured it out, and they had to bring Gobert back, and the rest is history. They ended up winning 126 to 118 in Utah, a place that has been just horrific for the Mavs over the last 5-6 years. I think they had one win in Utah over that span, and they take a 2-1 lead now. And Luka, he could very well be returning for game four, but the Mavs have made this series now, like, they have such a cushion that they don't have to bring him back if there's any kind of doubt whatsoever. Like, unless he is just absolutely 100% sure that he's ready to go, they're not pressured to bring him back and risk anything now. So that's the good thing. I do think he will come back for game four. I'm sure we'll find something out while we're recording this, because, you know, there's going to be Jason Kidd and Luke is going to be talking to the media. So we'll see if anything comes out there. But, you know, if they take it one more game and decide to bring Luka back for game five, which will be a huge game five at American Airlines Center at home after they've recaptured home court, I'm all for that as well. Because, I mean, look, if this Jazz perimeter defense can't do anything with Jalen Brunson and Spencer Dinwiddie, and, you know, if they can't do anything with these guys, and they're good, I'm not saying anything bad about that, but if they can't do anything with these guys, they are 100% not going to do anything with Luka when he comes back. So, anyway, enough rambling. Again, you can find all of my work on Twitter if you haven't already, at Dalton_Trigg. And I am rejoined by my co-host, who just got his main account back for the first time in over a year. He was in Twitter jail. It's Matt Galatzin. And you can find him at Matt Galatzin on Twitter. He has his other account too, but forget that. Well, we got the main one back. How you feeling, Matt?
I kind of feel like an OnlyFans girl. I have a backup account on social media in case I get banned. No, I mean, it's nice to be back. I feel Twitter rejuvenated. I deleted all my old tweets just so they can't slap me with another DNCA notice or DCMA notice or whatever it is.
Good call.
And, you know, we're back.
Well, tell me what you thought watching that game, because we were talking in our little group chat during the game, and you said you wanted to say something, but I think you held off to keep from jinxing it. Well, now I want to know what you were thinking.
I still think it'd probably be a bad idea. Well, the first thing that I said after the first couple of possessions of that game was, oh man, I think Jalen's going to get bullied tonight or something, or pushed around or something along those lines. And he kind of did in the first, like, one or two possessions by Donovan Mitchell. So I was like, uh-oh, they're really going to go after him and try and throw him off his game. And then after that, he just went bananas. So I quickly reversed course on that. But the thing I was going to say was, you know, it's not the same. And this is certainly a little bit hyperbolic and take it with a grain of salt or whatever. But there's certainly two different teams in a lot of respects. But this team reminds me a lot in terms of demeanor and just the way they're playing with each other and the confidence as the 2011 Mavs championship team. It's like all the role players hitting shots, you know, everything going right, the defense. Obviously, that's going to have to – I mean, we've played two games in the playoffs. So, but what I was going to say last night was this team is – you know.
You there?
Yes. I'm trying to think of a way to say this where I don't jinx the entire playoff run. This team, assuming everybody stays healthy and assuming they get a little bit of a break with Phoenix, like, you know, they play okay against Phoenix and manage to get out of that series, I think they're going straight to the finals.
I mean, there's a real path for it. I mean, a lot we've seen a lot of people say it. You know, leading up to this series, and, you know, a lot of Mavs fans don't want to go there.
That's why I didn't want to really say it, but you made me.
I mean, they don't. A lot of people don't want to go there. I don't see any problem with being confident, though. I mean, this team has shown the entire calendar year what they are. Like, I get it. You don't want to jinx something. You don't want to get your cart ahead of the horse, so to speak. But I mean, we've seen what this team. They have been incredibly consistent since New Year's Eve. And we've seen what they can do even without Luka playing after the trade. You know, they only played two games without Luka after they traded KP for Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans, but they won both of those games. Like, we saw that they're capable of winning without him. And again, you know, that was against bad teams, but, you know, how many times have the Mavs played bad teams without Luka in the past before that trade where, like, we just had zero confidence in the team winning? You know, it makes a big difference. And I, you know, with the way this team has played and the chemistry and the coaching staff has been great, not just Jason Kidd, but Igor and Sweeney and even Jared Dudley and the rest of that amazing coaching staff. I mean, everybody's just on the same page. And I agree, there are similarities with the 2011 team. Now, obviously, they're not, you know, it's not the same storylines and those guys in 2011 were at different parts in their careers, and, you know, the dynamic is a little bit different, but, you know, there are similarities with the defense and, you know, everybody doubting them and, you know, all that stuff. So this is the most help Luka has had in his entire career so far, and I'm just absolutely thrilled to see what happens when he comes back and they put this thing together. And like you said, not just with how they're playing right now, but, you know, with the way the rest of the Western Conference is shaking out, they could get a little more help if they do advance to the second round. Because Devin Booker, he strained his hamstring. He's out for 2 to 3 weeks, or at least he's initially out for 2 to 3 weeks. It may be longer. They don't really know yet. And, you know, they lost game two to the Pelicans, who look, you know, a lot better than what their record might suggest in the regular season. So game three of that one is tonight in New Orleans. If the Pelicans somehow win this one, then you start thinking, man, could the Mavs potentially host a second round series? Will Dalton get to go to New Orleans?
I was going to say, that's like your dream.
Yeah. You know,
Mavs to play in the playoffs.
Hour and a half drive from me down to Smoothie King Center for game three and game four of a second round series. Let's go. Who wouldn't want that? But yeah, I mean, everything's going great for this team right now. You know, Jalen Brunson, again, he's been incredible. 96 points for him through the first three games of these playoffs. And man, did he beat it after.
Let me interrupt you for a second. Jason Kidd's talking to the media right now, and he says Luka's game four status is he's optimistic, and he says the 2-1 series lead will have no impact on a decision about whether he returns or not. So they're being the Mavericks and saying a whole big bag of nothing again.
Well, I mean, optimistic is better than – well, I guess we'll wait and see what Woj comes out and says in, like, 30 minutes.
I know, it's so every dumb. Time the- like, we know that Woj is going to come out and say what's really going on, so why don't you just, like, effing tell us what's happening? Yeah. Like, just – it's going to get out, so just tell us.
And, I mean, look, I know – that's another thing we've seen online here. Like when Woj has broke some news here on Luka in the last couple of days, people are just like, oh, Woj, he's not plugged into the map. This is a different regime, y'all. You know, he has connections with Jared Dudley, with Billy Duffy, probably with Nico Harrison. I mean, maybe even Jason Kidd. I don't know about that one, but the other three for sure. So, I mean, this is not the Mavs of old. If Woj says something, he's not going to tweet something out there if he's not, like, super confident in what his sources are telling him. If he doesn't have a legit source, he's not going to say it. But anyway, we'll wait and see if something comes out with that. But optimistic sounds better than, you know, what we were hearing leading up to game three. So we'll see how it goes.
Man, I don't think he's going to play.
Well, if he doesn't, I mean, like I said, they've created that cushion for him now. It's like if you're down 2-1 going into a game 4 on the road, then it's like, okay, well, let's go ahead and get him out there. But I mean, honestly, Matt, with as many open shots as they missed in game 1, they should be up 3-0 right now without Luka. I mean, that first game was just absolutely awful. They were, I think it was 4 of 18 on wide open 3-pointers in game 1. If they just hit like 2 or 3 more in that first game, then they're up 3-0 right now. So you're up 2-1. You should probably be up 3-0 without Luka. There is absolutely no rush in trying to bring him back. So if you're not 100% sure.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I think that they know that they can just put the hammer down on this series even without Luka. So, like, what? Just hold him out until the second round. You're going to win in 5 games.
And if they did that, how refreshing would that be given the struggles, you know, from these guys around Luka over the last couple of postseasons? How refreshing would that be to have your first playoff series win in over a decade and your best player potentially doesn't even play a minute in it? Now, I do think Luka will return at some point. But, you know, I just think it would be amazing. It's such a different feeling having confidence in this team, even without its best player. So that's where all the extra confidence comes from. It's like, even if you have to play the Phoenix Suns in the second round, they were competitive with the Suns this year, even without Luka playing in a couple of those games. They just weren't able to finish in the clutch. And since the KP trade, the Mavs are the number one clutch team in the league. So, we can see how that plays out when we get to it. And then you have the Booker stuff to look out for. So there is a lot of stuff to be optimistic about. And I'm just thrilled with how that game turned out last night. And shout out to Spencer Dinwiddie. I know we talked about his clutch performance in the fourth quarter, hit some big shots. They were up by 7 and he hit like just a bonkers 3-pointer to kind of put the Jazz away. It was made it 119-109. With a little over a minute left, but the dunk over Gobert was just something that got everybody off of their couches, out of their seats, just detonated on top of Rudy Gobert's head. It was amazing. I've watched it all morning. I stayed up way too late last night watching that and other stuff. I mean, it was just incredible to watch. So, all around, the vibes are immaculate. I think the Mavs, they've kept the right mindset. They haven't gotten too excited. They know that this is where they need to be, and they know that the job's not finished yet, and I expect that mindset to carry over into game 4, too. So, okay, let me see. We had some speaker requests, but, well, maybe not. I don't know. I know
Kirk, request to speak, you coward.
We may have to, because I thought somebody requests and see if it shows up, because I could have sworn there were like 2 or 3, but it's not showing on my end. Maybe, hopefully, it's not an app issue on my end. Let's see. Okay, well, unless I see something pop up, we're just going to keep rolling here, Matt, but what do you expect going into tonight? Like, what is your preference here? Like, would you rather play a Phoenix Suns team? And I'm this seems dumb to say, but it's like, would you rather play a Phoenix Suns team without Devin Booker, or would you rather play an underdog Pelicans team that could potentially be getting Zion back too, the further they go into the postseason? In the second round with home court, I still want to play the Pelicans. That's 100% what I would like, but you know, I had to ask it regardless.
I think that the Suns, even without Devin Booker, are one of the best teams in the league. So, I don't want to play the Suns. That's the last thing I would want. now. It's kind of hard because just on paper, if they get Zion back, you're like, oh shit, you know, Zion's coming back. But I'm honestly not afraid of fat Zion. like coming back for the first time all year in the playoff series, he's going to play like garbage. So,
regardless,
I think it's no question the Pelicans.
Regardless, and I mean, Brandon Ingram, he's just amazing too. I think he's severely underrated, but Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum, and they've got a bunch of fearless rookies on that team. Jose Alvarado has become like one of my favorite players in the league because he hides over in the corner and runs behind people to get steals and stuff. I just love that dude. But, you know, I just – whichever way it goes, I mean, I would prefer the Pelicans, but the best-case scenario for the Mavs here is them taking care of business in five games against the Jazz, putting them out of their misery, and then hoping that the Pelicans and Suns series goes seven games. And then, you know, whatever happens, you know, you play whoever you play after that. But that's the best case scenario. Take care of business quickly. Suns, Jazz goes seven games. Get Luka some extra rest there, and then off you go. And then, you know, I think once – if the Mavs can get past – if they play the Suns in the second round and they somehow get past the Suns, then it's like the sky is the limit. That's when you really start to believe. It's kind of like in, you know, 2011, a lot of people didn't really believe that the Mavs could go all the way until they swept the two-time defending champion Lakers in the second round.
That's kind of the only reason I would want the Suns. Is so you can take the hardest path possible, and if you get all the way through it, nobody can say anything. Because if you have to play the Pelicans, then people, you didn't have to play the Suns, you didn't have to play Devin Booker, blah blah blah. If you play them and you beat them, then there's no question.
I just saw somebody in the chat say, "Let's beat Utah first." Like, have I not said that already? Like, why do people keep telling that to me? I feel like I have been very forthcoming about saying that the Mavs have to take care of the Jazz first. We know that. But given how things are trending, we can look ahead and see what the possibilities are. Like, and it's not just – I'm not just picking on one person in the chat. I mean, it's been on Twitter, and when I post the links to Facebook, like, everybody is just so scared to kind of look ahead a little bit. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. We all know that the Mavs have to take care of the Jazz before anything else happens. You don't have to tell us that.
Well, there's nothing wrong with looking ahead for us. It's the team that doesn't need to look ahead, and they're not.
Right.
So that's all.
Media and fans, that's what they're supposed to do. But as long as the team doesn't look ahead, and they're not, you know, they have the correct mindset with it, then, you know, then they're good to go. But one other thing I want to talk to you about real quick, and again, if anybody has anything they want to talk about, just send a speaker request. And y'all may have, like I said, I saw three or four of them happen earlier, but they're just not showing up on my end, so I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what's going on there. But one thing I did want to talk about with you, Matt, was the Rudy Gobert situation, because I made a comment last night. You know, if the Mavs put away the Jazz in five or six games or whatever it ends up being, and then, you know, turn around this offseason and steal their center from them. I still think, and I know everybody's like kind of down, or most people are down on Gobert with how he's played for the Jazz this year, but I just really think it's a different dynamic if he's on the Mavs. You put him with Luka instead of Donovan Mitchell, and I think, he might average 20-20. On this Mavs team. And he's one of the best pick and roll bigs in the league. We already see how, you know, Luka does with Dwight Powell as his starting center. Like, imagine if you took Gobert away from the Jazz and put Dwight Powell on the Jazz. that's the best scenario I can think to, like, give people a true idea of, you know, what would happen if you made that upgrade there. So I'm still on board with it. I think, you know, his value is down from where it should have been. You know, it's just one of those things where he needs to be in the right situation, because if he's not in the perfect situation playing with a guy like Luka, then it makes it very easy for him to get run off the court. And I don't think that would happen near as much if he's in Dallas. So I'm still very much in on the Rudy Gobert thing this summer. And I mean, it's kind of dependent on price. I mean, I don't mind, you know, giving up future picks for him, and salary filler, but you know, it just depends on what the package is, but I am very much still in on Gobert. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have Donovan Mitchell. but that's
would
not really
you though? I mean, would you? I mean,
yes, I would. I think Donovan Mitchell.
Look, I'm kidding. But look, his defense has been horrible.
I don't care. I think Donovan Mitchell is the most, like, one of the most, and he's not underrated, but he also is one of the most underrated players in the entire league because of where he's playing. But I mean, yeah, I mean, Gobert would be fantastic. I worry that when you play a team like, you know, Golden State or something that can spread you out like that, then it would be a little bit more difficult for him to be effective in a series. But then again, when you play a team like Phoenix who has Ayton bullying people around, then, you know, you want him in that series. So it's got its ups and downs to it. But on paper, I like it. In my heart, I hate it because I hate Gobert and I hate his face. He's one of the most annoying players in the entire league. He's such a baby, but, you know, he's a good player. So, I mean, I'm all for adding all of the good players to the Mavericks.
Somebody in the chat said that they know that I like to look ahead and that I'm probably already trying to figure out a way to get Evan Mobley in 4 years.
Facts. The day after the trade deadline, Dalton's proposing trade for like 2024.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
which, you know, I mean, I don't get too into the younger player restricted free agency stuff, just because, man, do I hate the idea of waiting 2 or 3 days or however long it is now, you know, on that restricted free agency stuff. You just miss out on so much other stuff. Like, unless you just know for sure that a player is going to sign with you and that the other team doesn't want to keep him, and you can work out some kind of sign and trade or something like that, I just don't think it's not worth waiting on stuff like that. But with that being said, I am looking forward to 2023 free agency with Nikola Jokic being an unrestricted free agent after he's been swept in the playoffs 2 years in a row. Very good timing with his free agency coming up, and he might end up just signing a supermax deal to stay with Denver like Giannis did with Milwaukee, but I think it's a little bit different situation with the Nuggets than it was with Giannis and the Bucks. So, and unlike Luka and Giannis, like, we know Luka and Giannis are friendly and they respect each other and everything, but we know for a fact that Luka and Jokic are good friends, and their wives are, well, Luka's girlfriend and I think it's Jokic's wife. Both of them hang out with each other too, and Boban plays a factor there. They're all just great friends. So that's going to be my big pipe dream heading into the, you know, the next year. And we'll see how it goes. But, you know, if the Nuggets get back Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. and they don't exceed expectations based on how this year and last year in the playoffs went, then I could potentially see a situation where he looks to leave. So, because, you know, you win two MVPs in a row and you can't, you know, you can't get swept 2 years in a row in the playoffs after winning MVP, because then you start getting scrutinized by everybody in the media. And I mean, I get it. It's a regular season award. I have absolutely zero issues with Jokic winning the MVP because of that. But, you know, it's kind of like Dirk winning it in 2007 and then getting beat by the 8-seeded Warriors in the first round. He got a lot of heat for that. And it's going to be the same way with Jokic. And, you know, we'll see how that goes over the course of the next year. I can't even fathom a duo of Luka and Jokic together, but I'm going to try to.
Yeah, this is the kind of looking ahead that I think people are. I don't know, man. I'm so anti Mavs free agency or trade hopes that, like, I can't even process that in my brain right now. I want to see what this team does in the playoffs, and then if they get Jokic, I will run down the street naked. But, like, I can't put that thought in my brain right now, because I just can't fathom that they would ever do something that aggressive and awesome. Because they never have.
The fan base still has so much PTSD from the Donnie Nelson era that, you know, obviously everybody's going to be skeptical. But they were skeptical of the Spencer Dinwiddie and Bertans for KP trade too. I mean, Nico knows what he's doing, man. Like, the whole dynamic of this franchise – has changed, like, the perception of it with other people, especially with what they're showing and how they're playing without Luka right now. So, I mean, naturally, I mean, I'm already optimistic, irrationally so sometimes with this free agency pipe dream stuff, but I really do think it's going to change how they operate in free agency too. Okay, I don't know what happened there, but we did get a speaker request finally, so I guess that's fixed. It's our guy Christian. What's up, man? Oh, boy.
Dead air.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh, there we go. There he is.
I got a call. My bad, guys. How y'all doing today? Good to have him talk to y'all in a bit. Hope everyone's feeling good. Just got off a work meeting, so sorry about that. But I was gonna say, I think one of the, you know, the things that everyone's covered, JB, I mean, he was fantastic last night. You know, Dorian constantly gets the praise. I mean, hit a clutch shot, and, you know, playing the minutes that he's done. But I think Reggie Bullock deserves so much credit and has kind of gone unsung in what he's doing. He's been playing, I think it was 44 minutes the first game, 45 minutes the second game, and 44 minutes again, something to that effect. And the thing that I think, I'm defense fantastic, all those things, but outside of Luka, we haven't had someone like this where the Jazz would hit a huge shot where it seemed like we're losing the momentum, like everything's swinging against us. And Reggie's the one to have that quick trigger and hit back. And without him last night, I mean, without a lot of people, but, you know, we just don't pull that off. So I was wondering what your thoughts are on basically our big off-season addition, so to speak, our only real off-season addition, and you know, just your thoughts on what he's meant to this team, and do you think that we get a big Reggie game at some point during this series? And by big game, I mean, like, you know, when he was putting up those 20-point games a couple months ago.
Well, the biggest thing with Reggie Bullock, I mean, when the signing happened, I already thought it was underrated because, I mean, if you talk to any Knicks fans, and, you know, I have a – there's a guy with a Knicks podcast I've had on here before, and we've talked about it a little bit too. You know, he was the heart and soul of that team last year. Like, he was what made that defense stick together in New York and made them so good. And, you know, they were already lacking three-point shooting, and he brought some of that to the table too. And then, like, you see how it's made a difference, you know, from one year to the next, taking Bullock off of that Knicks team. So, you know, he's obviously very important. Earlier in the season when he was struggling, I think he was having some issues with his lower back, if I'm not mistaken, or something to that effect. It was really affecting his play, but he got healthy. And, you know, you're seeing the benefits of that now. And, you know, it's him combined with Dorian Finney-Smith. And you're right, you know, Bullock played 44 minutes last night, and that's about what he's played the entire series. Dorian Finney-Smith played 47 minutes in Game 3. 47 out of 48 minutes in Game 3, and he still hit a huge clutch corner three-pointer and was playing just absolute amazing defense down the stretch. Like, he is – I tweeted this out earlier, but he is 100% of, you know, worth every penny of that four-year, $55 million extension. So, I'm happy with that. You know, we got to give Maxi Kleba and Davis Bertans some love too. You know, Maxi, he exploded in Game 2 and hit 8 of 11 three-pointers. And I think, Matt, if you have to go, I know you got some stuff going on. We can keep rolling here, but I appreciate you hopping on with us today.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I do have to jump. I'm starting to get swamped with some other stuff. So I will catch you after Game 4. Remember that I'm out of Twitter jail. So go follow me on my old account.
Yeah, Matt has to go take care of his 1 billion websites that he runs now. So go make that money, Matt. but, yeah, we got to get – I want to give some love to Kleba and Bertans because 8 of 11 from deep in Game 2, and then he came out with the hot hand again in Game 3, 4 of 5. And, Christian, I made the joke – on the timeline last night, you know, it's kind of like on Happy Gilmore when Happy learns how to putt and he looks at it, he's like, uh-oh, you know, that's kind of the situation I'm seeing with Maxi here.
It's funny, and it's just a complete sidebar, but I have the TV on in the background and Happy Gilmore's literally on right now, and that, like, I just – perfect analogy at a perfect time.
Well, that's the first thing that came to mind when I saw he was still hitting those threes in Game 3. And, you know, those games that he sat out at the end of the regular season, I think he ended up sitting 4 or 5 games to end the year. And then you had the almost a full week after that because of the NBA play-in tournament. You know, he's fully healthy now too. And you see the benefits of it. And, I mean, as bad as he shot 18% from deep from the All-Star break through the end of the season. There, you knew there had to be some, you know, positive regression to the mean there. So I'm so happy that it's actually happening in the playoffs now. And, you know, we're seeing him, not only him playing good defense still as well, but now he's hitting those wide-open three-pointers. And if he's doing that and Bertans is going 4 of 7 from three, and Bertans even had a chase-down LeBron James-style block in transition last night. Like, what – like, when that is happening, I saw my guy Josh Bowe with Mavs Moneyball. He tweeted, when that happens – you know, you might as well just pack it up and try again next season if you're Utah. So I'm just absolutely thrilled with how this team has played and everybody's stepping up big without Luka. And I think when Luka comes back here in the next game or so, it's just going to, you know, that's going to be the kill shot. And I hope that, you know, they can ride this wave even past the second round if they get there. So, Christian, anything else before we go to the next one here?
Yeah, all I was going to say is you know, to your point about Maxey and some of the others, it, for better or worse, which when it's, when it swings against us, it can just be a killer, is we have guys that are confident shooters. Maxey, Josh Green, I mean, the way Josh Green ended the season shooting the three ball, and I get it's not on, you know, crazy volume, but those guys, when they start missing shots, it really affects them. It, they won't pull the trigger and those kind of things. When they do start making them, though, it really starts raining, and I think that's what we've seen. So I'm just excited with the way the guys are playing, and, you know, Dalton, appreciate you having me up as always, brother. Hope you have a great day.
Yes, sir. You do the same, and we're going to try to do this again after game four. I'm not going to be able – I've been covering all these games for DallasBasketball.com, doing the instant recaps and stuff. I'm actually not going to be able to watch most of game four because my dad's getting married tomorrow. So I will be busy doing that. I will obviously be, you know, checking up on everything from my phone while I'm there, but – we'll be sure to, you know, come on the next day or maybe even later that night and, you know, we'll get another pot out. Okay, next up, we got my guy, Mike Bibbins from Bibbs Corner and Mavs Outsiders podcast. Mike Bibbins, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, Dalton. I can't say I have any complaints after we went up 2-1. I don't think anybody realistically expected that. Maybe Optimus Bibbs, but...
Optimus Bibbs is like, you know, it's kind of like you take my already irrational optimism and like turn it up 10 past that. That's what Optimus Bibbs is. But hey, I'm here for it.
No, congrats to your dad, by the way. That's awesome that he's getting married tomorrow. But man, I think it was Christian that was just up talking about how we had an answer every time that the Jazz hit big shots, and I do think our bench deserves a lot of credit. I think we hit 18 threes last night, and 11 of them came from Josh, Maxey, and Bertans. And I'm glad, like, the difference between Rick and Jason Kidd, or one of the many differences, I should say, is Josh Green playing, like, complete cheeks in the first two games. We would have never seen him again if Rick Carlisle was the coach. But Kidd trusted him. He kept him in there, and it paid off last night. So I'm just looking forward to seeing more of that going forward with the way the team has kind of come together. And then if we get Luka back, how that looks going forward. Because, I mean, I hate to say the word, but it's starting to make me feel like, you know, things could line up nicely for us here.
It is shaping out, you know, that way right now. Obviously, everybody's kind of on eggshells, and you don't want to jinx anything, but I mean, it is setting up really nicely for the Mavs at the moment. And I'm glad you brought up Josh Green, because you're absolutely right. I mean, if this was Rick Carlisle, I mean, one, Josh Green wouldn't even be getting these minutes in the postseason. Like he wasn't able to play through his mistakes in the regular season with Rick like he was this year with Kidd. And, it's, you know, that's one of the things. Green was able to play through his mistakes in the regular season this year with Kidd, and now you're in the postseason. And I mentioned it on the last pod. I had my guy Grant Afseth, my colleague at DallasBasketball.com, on the last pod, and we were talking about it. Like, you know, if I said I would love nothing more than for Josh Green to come back in game three and have like a huge performance and redeem himself and everything. But if he continues to play like he did in game one and game two, then I think you start having to have that tough conversation. Like, well, you know, is it worth continuing to give him these minutes? But to Josh's credit, he did come out. He was 4 of 6 from the field, hit 3 of his 5 threes, and played incredible defense, especially in that first half. And I mean, he had 6 assists too. Yeah. 12 points, 6 assists. 3 rebounds, 2 steals in 19 minutes. He was a plus 10 off the bench. Like, I'm incredibly happy for Josh Green. He's shown flashes throughout the season. It's been a slow progression, a slow build, you know, to what we thought his potential was coming out of the draft. But slowly but surely, he's getting there, and he's showing promise.
Most definitely. And I think going back to the assists, like a couple of the things that we were seeing from him was those dribble handoffs with Bertans. Like, yeah, he could take the three with Rudy sagging off of him, but then he's also like, you know, Bertans is a better shooter than me. If I go do this dribble handoff and Rudy Gobert is sagging off, like, he's getting wide open looks every single time. So that's a good way to boost your assists, is dumping it off to Bertans for wide open shots. The other thing I wanted to mention that I might have missed it in the first part of you guys speaking. I think I came in about 10 minutes late. But the stretch when the Jazz went on that run, I think that could be a little bit of fool's gold for them. When they went small and we had to have Bertans at the five because Maxie and Dwight were in foul trouble, they were killing us by attacking Bertans. Now, if they go small and Maxie's not in foul trouble, that's a completely different situation for them. And I hope that they try it and waste their time trying to do that the next game. That's a good way to get us up 3-1, in my opinion.
That's a really good point. I 100% agree with you. You know, if Bertans isn't in the game at that point, I don't even think, you know, they probably even extend their already decent-sized lead, and especially if Luka comes back too. I mean, if you put that lineup on the floor for the Jazz with Luka on the floor with the other initiators, I mean, who's going to stop Luka from getting to the rim? Exactly. You know, Rudy Gobert is the only person on that entire team that can challenge Luka. And, you know, with the lineups they're playing right now, you know, you don't even really have Gobert truly protecting the basket. You know, he's being drawn out a little bit more. So I just don't know what this Jazz team can do. You know, for the Jazz to win this series, they would have to win. There's only four potential games left. They'd have to win three out of the four games to beat the Mavs in this series. And from what we've seen through three games, I just don't know how they would do it. I mean, I understand people don't want to get their cart ahead of the horse, but I mean, we have three full games of evidence, you know, showing that this Mavs team is better. I just don't see how the Jazz are going to get past the Mavs in this series, but it's been great. I mean, like Jalen Brunson loves to say, the vibes are immaculate. I am just absolutely thrilled for this Mavs team to be having this success without Luka. And I hope, you know, even if he doesn't play in game four, I hope it continues. But I do think he will come back for game four, and it'll kind of put the nail in the coffin here. But Bibbs, I appreciate you joining me, man. Is there anything else you want to add? And if not, you know, tell the people where they can find all your stuff.
No, man, thanks for having me. Just wanted to pop in on my lunch. Definitely enjoy the conversation. Like you said, the vibes are immaculate. I'm feeling good over here myself. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Bibbs Corner, the podcast, Mavs Outsiders Podcast, with my co-host Minder Reese. We had some fun last night talking about the game. Excuse any language, but other than that, I'll let you have your show back, Dalton. Take it easy.
Yes, sir, Bibbs. Appreciate it. Y'all go check out his stuff too. Him and Reese do a great job over there. They bring a fresh perspective, and they have a lot of fun, you know, recapping these games and everything. But guys, that's going to be all from me today. I will try to come on here, like I said, and we'll do it sometime after game four. It may not be right after game four. It may be late that night or, you know, sometime on Sunday, but we will get it done. But I appreciate y'all coming in and listening. Be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms to be entered for a chance to win Mavs tickets giveaways, because we do those every now and then. Go leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That automatically enters you for a chance, you know, to win those giveaways anytime down the road. So that's a way to throw your, you know, your name, and we'll get you in there. So I appreciate it, guys. We will see you next time. Y'all have a great rest of your Friday and have a great weekend. Go Mavs.